This week, I want to take a step back. You know, we went from Avas Yisrael to Kel Melech Ne'eman, and whether it's part of Avas Yisrael or it's part of Shema, and therefore, and that plunged us into the flow from Avas Yisrael to the first paragraph of Shema, and I was staying very the finer points of Shema. I want to take a step back and discuss Shema as a whole. Okay. Here's an interesting Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid. Tamid is not one of the Masechtas very often learned. It doesn't have Gemara on it. It's about the Korban Tamid. The Kohen Gadol would lead the other Kohanim in davening. This was their siddur. This was the ritual that they davened. Okay? He'd tell them to make a bracha, and they make a bracha. Then they would say the Aseret HaDibros. Then they would say Shema, Vayim Shema, and Vayomer. Then he would tell them to bless the people with three brachos. Emes V'yatziv, Avoda, which is the bracha we call Ritzei, you know, because it starts with the word Ritzei, we call Ritzei, and then Berchas Kohanim, just logically enough. And that was the ritual. So there was originally on Shabbos there was another bracha added to the end for the Kohanim. Every Shabbos, the Kohanim change shifts. So for the Kohanim, the shift that was leaving, there was an extra bracha added to thank them, to bless them and send them on their way. But that's the whole difference between the ritual. But there's a basic linkage between Kriyat Shema and the Aseret HaDibros, because that was their davening. Their davening was brachos before, Aseret HaDibros, Kriyat Shema, brachos after. By the way, it means that there's interesting things in Ritzei, because in Ritzei we say Vashevas Avoda Libirei Secha, you should return the Avoda to the Devir of your home. And obviously that's not the version that they said when they were actually in the Beis HaMikdash. The Nusach actually afterwards, right, we have Lidvir Secha, and then some people put a period there. And then it's the Ishe Yisrael, Usvilasam, Bavaska Babatot. The fires of Israel and their prayers, may you accept them with love. The other way of putting a comma is Hashevas of the Lidvir Secha Ishe Yisrael, return the service and the fires to the Beit HaMikdash. Odds are the Kohanim, the original version was Vishay Yisrael, Usfilasam Bavaskrabaratzon. So it was said by people doing Avoda. So they're saying may our prayers and our Avoda be accepted. But back to our subject. So that was their davening. Now, why don't we recite the Aseret HaDibros as part of davening? So in Barachos, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, they wanted to say the Aseret HaDibros before Shema outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. But the practice was already discontinued due to the spread of Christianity. And Rashi says, why? Because they would not convince people that these mitzvos are the only mitzvos that are from God. So there's this Christian concept of the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, actually have 14 to 16 actual mitzvos in them, depending on how you count your 613. But there are 10 statements, they call them Ten Commandments, and they believe that that's it in terms of halacha, the Ten Commandments. So in order to dispel that whole discussion, they took the Aseret HaDibros out of the Siddur. The Zohar on Rus says the Hasidim HaRishonim, which was a movement that existed toward the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, but while it was still standing, they established the practice of saying Shema as a reminder of the Seres HaDibros and the number of bones in the human body, because our Ramach are 248 bones, like we discussed, and the Seres HaDibros, for as a reminder, the Seres HaDibros, we have Kriyat Shema. So not only now with Kriyat Shema and Aseret HaDibros considered a unit, right, we see that somehow or another the Aseret HaDibros are hinted to in Shema. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you can't say Shema because you're afraid of theological dispute, mm-hmm. You can't say Aseret HaDibros, mm-hmm. So then you can say Shema. Now there's a question as to what they meant by this. It probably means the parts of Shema that are not Doraisa, because mm-hmm. the part that is Doraisa they didn't established to commemorate something. The Reuven Yakar says there are 248 words in Shema that we discussed, and the number of words in Shema and the number of words in the Aseret HaDibros is 613. If you add the two together, mm-hmm. again, we saw this before, but again, there's a linkage between Shema and the Aseret HaDibros. The Kolbo, by the way, says that there are 18 names of Hashem in Shema, if you count them up. Mm-hmm. And those 18 names correspond to the 18 bones of the spine. Which is also what the Gemara says about Kriyat Shema. The reason why there are 18 brachos is so that it corresponds to the spine. That's the what we have on the general idea of Kriyat Shema and the Aseret HaDibros. However, there is an exact specific alignment that the Gemara gives us between Kriyat Shema and Aseret HaDibros. I made sheets, I made charts. Well, I figured that if this would serve any help in when you say Shema, it would be useful to have something you keep in your talisman. So here on the table on the bottom, which will be on the website, so the people listening don't have to wonder what I'm talking about. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God clearly is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, that there's only one God, corresponds to the second, don't make an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't make an idol is, you should have one God. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, that corresponds to not taking Hashem's name in vain. Because if you truly loved God, you wouldn't be abusing his reputation. Next is Uchsavtam al Mezuzos Pesach. Because I saw this as something you'd use during davening, I rearranged the Gemara into Shema order instead of Aseret HaDibros order. Uchsavtam al Mezuzos Pesach implies that you have your own home and he has his own home, and therefore it's the opposite of losachnut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wanting somebody else's thing. V'yasafta d'ganecha is the opposite of theft. You have your stuff, he has his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's losignov. V'vadte me'era, what's the normal punishment for an avera? Whatever the person did, that's what Hashem... Right. Therefore, when would somebody be subject to the punishment of being lost rapidly? Well, the murderers. So that's Los Hirtzach. The man yirbu yinechen v'yimei v'nechen. Well, there's two connections here. First one is, what's the reward for honoring your parents? Kaveh des avicha v'yimecha l'man yirichun yimecha. You should have a long life. So yirbu yimechen v'yimei v'nechen is a long life. Also notice how there's a phrase, v'yimei v'nechen, it's telling out parents and children.
Mm-hmm.
So that between the two connections is the fifth Dibra, the honoring one's parents. Lo sasur achari levavchem v'achari yinechem, do not wander after your heart and after your eyes. Hasheretim zonim achareim, which you stray after. Right? That is the Rav Levi points out, the heart and the eye what lead you to sin, and therefore corresponds to lo sinof. So sinaf is sexual sin, and therefore it follows to this kind of, you know, following a wandering eye. Mm-hmm. Lamont and his crew, that you should remember and do all the mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what mitzvah is equal in value to all the other mitzvahs? Rebbe says that's Shabbos. Right? A person who's Mechal Shabbos
mm-hmm.
is considered non-frum even malacha. I mean, not just we call him non-frum.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He has the law of somebody who is non, mm-hmm. right, a non-believer. So therefore, if I see him called mitzvah, Laman Dizgru, if I see him called mitzvah, society is Zachor, again, the word play, mm-hmm. and also it's Yom HaShabbos because of the,
mm-hmm.
right, the comparison of magnitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hashem Elokeichem and MS, you take the word MS, and that corresponds to not lying in testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there's a hint, yes, it's only a hint, mm-hmm. but there's a hint to each of that Sarasadibros in Kriyat Shema. So you could, in theory, when saying Kriyat Shema with each pasuk, think not only about the meaning of the words, but think about the dibra they're mm-hmm. hinting at. And since all of the other mitzvahs unfold from the Sarasit, the Sarasit dibros in turn hints at each of the all of the 613, you can sort of get the all of the Torah into Shema that way.
Fascinating. It's clear.
Okay.
Wow.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that structure of Shema, that way of viewing the structure of Shema against the Esar Dibros, ignores the chapter divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I put like a double line at one chapter and a triple line at the other one.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really reflect, the chapter divisions are not reflected in the structure that way. In fact, there are large gaps between the hints, because this was hints
mm-hmm.
forced
mm-hmm.
into a parsha that was already there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God wrote the Torah, and, you know. So, the Gemara discusses why the three parshas of Shema come in the order they come. In truth, the question, why does Shema come before Vahaya, is not really a major dilemma. Because in the Torah, there's, Moshe Rabbeinu gives a lecture, and the opening of the lecture is Shema,
mm-hmm.
and the closing of the lecture is Vahayim Shemoah. So that's the order they happen in.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's in Devarim. Tzitzis is in Parsha Shlach. In Bamidbar.
Mm-hmm.
So the question the Gemara has to deal with is, why are they not in Torah order?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara's answer is, well, Vahapta has to come first. Why? Because Vahapta is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's accepting God as king. Mm-hmm. This discussion in the mitzvahs makes no sense until you believe that he is king and in a situation to command you to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that comes first. And why does Vahayim Shemoah then come before Vayidaber? Well, Vayidaber mentions five mitzvahs, it mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim. We'll discuss why we say Vayidaber if we get to Vayidaber in the Shir. But the Vayidaber discusses a mitzvah of Tzitzis, which is only during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it has lower priority than Vahayim Shemoah, which discusses mitzvahs that are explicitly says b'shachcha uvkumecha, both when you go to bed and when you wake up. So that's why that has higher priority. But the first two parshas, aside from being linked in the Torah,
mm-hmm.
they're also linked in another way. The parsha of Tzitzis is not in the mezuzah. Shema and Vahayim Shemoah, the only things in the mezuzah are the mitzvah, the paragraphs that actually talk about putting up a mezuzah.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's only the first two paragraphs. The third one's not in the mezuzah.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we look at the first two as a group, what do we get? We have the Kabbalas Ol Malchus, right, accepting Hashem as king, and Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. Right, the accepting the mitzvahs, that's Vahayim Shemoah. How is Kriyat Shema, and that's what we're going to discuss this year, and we'll deal with the third paragraph in a future year. How does the first paragraph of Shema qualify as Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. What does Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim mean? It means accepting Hashem as king. As we asked last time when we were looking more at the nitty-gritty of the text, nowhere does the paragraph actually mention the word king. Melech is not there.
No.
So how does it qualify as a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? The Gemara in not on our subject, the Gemara on Rosh Hashanah is discussing which pesukim are you allowed to use for Malchios. And then most of Shemon Esrei, right? There's a section where we talk about God's kingship, right? God's rule as king. And it needs to have a certain number of pesukim, right? 10 pesukim and so on. So can you use Kriyat Shema as one of the pesukim? In practice, we do. So the Gemara wants to know, right, can you or can't you? Rav Huttner doesn't understand the question. I mean, we know in practice we say Shema, but if you go a few blot earlier in the Gemara, right, it asks, how do you know you're supposed to say Malchios at all?
Mm-hmm.
And what pasuk does it use? He uses the end of Kriyat Shema where we say Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So what is the proof they have to say Malchios? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What is Kriyat Shema? Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad. So if Ani Hashem Elokeichem qualifies as proof that you need to say Malchios, then how could you possibly ask if a rephrase of the same basic words is a problem with, is a viable thing to say for Malchios? Okay, that's the first problem. Second problem is, Ani Hashem Elokeichem states that Hashem is God, right? So, and the purpose of the first pasuk Shema is, that's the mitzvah from the Torah to accept God as king. What happened if you only say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu without the words Hashem Echad? Do you qualify for doing the mitzvah? Do you accept Hashem as king? No. You have to say the whole pasuk. Or else you didn't do the mitzvah. But what did we just say? Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Sorry, Ani Hashem Elokeichem says that Hashem is king. So why do we need Hashem Echad? Why can't you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu? Because Hashem Elokeinu implies, however we accept the idea that Hashem is king, if Hashem Elokeinu implies that Hashem is king, then why do we need Hashem Echad in order to do the mitzvah of saying Hashem is king? There's a third difference between Kriyat Shema and the Shemon Esrei and Malchios. What's that? When we talk in terms of Kriyat Shema, what do we talk about? We talk about V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. We speak about loving God.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosh Hashanah, the theme isn't loving God. It's Yomim Noraim. It's Yirah. It's fear of God. So there are two concepts here that have to be different, because Kriyat Shema is only questionably good for Malchios, not self-evident, the defining example, right? And right, that's one distinction. The second distinction we said was what's it called? Whether you would have to say Hashem Echad. Right? Mm-hmm. For Shema, somehow the unity makes, declaring Hashem's unity makes a difference. The third one was whether it's about Yira or about love. So let's turn to the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Don't think you need the siddur for that one.
No.
Rashi says, like, this is how Rashi translates the pasuk. Listen, Yisrael, Hashem, who is our God now and in this world, will be in the world to come one God, presumably meaning accepted by all people.
Mm-hmm.
So Hashem Elokeinu is nowadays, and Hashem Echad is the end of history, the culmination of history. But this is like we say at the end of Elenu, In that day, you know, after Mashiach comes, when history plays itself out, then Hashem will be one and his name will be one. So that is what we, so when we talk about Hashem Echad, we're talking about the future, we're not talking about the present. We don't need to say Hashem Echad when we speak about, when we talk on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that say? That says that Rosh Hashanah is about accepting Hashem as King now, mm-hmm. even though we can't see His unity. Nowadays, what do I mean by we can't see His unity? We give Hashem two different brachos, right? When we hear good news,
mm-hmm.
we say Baruch Atah Hameitiv,
mm-hmm.
right? Saying, you know, bless the one who does good and more good. Who does good and bestows good.
Mm-hmm.
And when something bad happens, say Diana Emes, the judge of truth.
Mm-hmm.
In the world to come, what do we say? And this is the same pasuk as the proof. We will only say Hatov HaMeitiv. Because we'll realize, even when bad happens, we'll be able to see through the bad to know why it's in our best interest. And therefore, even when tragedy happens, we'll be able to say Hatov HaMeitiv. That's not experienced nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the future, Hashem will be one, because we won't see God from two different angles. Now, we see Hashem as two. So, nowadays we have to accept, when we say Shema, and we're accepting, sorry, when we say Malchios, and we're accepting Hashem's rule, it's both the perspective of Hatov HaMeitiv
mm-hmm.
and Dayan HaEmes. Therefore, it's an issue of Yira,
mm-hmm.
of awe,
mm-hmm.
because justice brings awe. Now, in the future, when we see everything coming to, you know, the reason for everything, and we can see why the tragic happens, in the future, it will be accepting Hashem's rule will be an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there will be no... We will see why the punishment is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason that he explains why on Malchios, on Rosh Hashanah, is all about Yom Nara'im, the days of awe,
mm-hmm.
whereas Kriyishma, we immediately go to V'ahavta. That's why V'ahavta, this expression of love, is the Malchios of Kriyishma. It's the culmination of Malchios when everybody sees that there's one God and accepts Him as doing good, not just as executing justice. How do we know this? We know this because Hashem Echad is a statement about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that resolves the three distinctions that the Pachad Yitzchok made, right? Again, Malchios on Rosh Hashanah is about accepting God as we perceive Him now.
No.
Therefore, it's about Yira, mm-hmm. because we see Hashem do things that we can't accept as good because we don't see the good in them.
Mm-hmm.
We accept as strict justice. Therefore, it's about Yira. Also, it explains why you don't need the word Hashem Echad right, to prove that you need Malchus Vishmanes mm-hmm. for Rosh Hashanah. And it explains why the question of why would Kriyishma be good
mm-hmm.
is because Kriyishma is a different topic. Kriyishma is about accepting that Hashem will be. That deep down we know that even though we can't see it, that Hatov will happen.
Mm-hmm.
That everything is for the best will come to the whole world. So, when we accept Hashem as King, according to the Pachad Yitzchok, according to Rav Huttner, we are saying that, you know, when you say Shema, and you say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, saying Hashem who is our God now, Hashem who is one, who I know in the future everybody will see as one,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, based on that trust, I will love Him now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the explanation according to his Dvar Torah of the first paragraph of Shema. Now, there are strong parallels between the first paragraph of Shema and the second. Why? Well, everybody notices, you know, and the Gemara even discusses this. What happens if you say, and you don't remember where in Shema are you? Should you say the first one or should you say the second one? Right? Where do you continue? Happens to everybody. Right? It's an unfortunate thing because it means we're paying real, real deep attention. But the truth is you are allowed to rely on habit. So if the word Laman happens to come out next, then you can rely on the fact that you're really saying Laman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're totally stuck, then you should say it over. But in any case, obviously there's a strong parallel,
mm-hmm.
because you see the, you know, the words are exactly the same, right? But the parallel starts earlier. The parallel starts with V'haya, and it will be, right? Im Shamoa Tishmu, if you listen. If you surely listen. It's a thing in Hebrew, by the way, the doubling of a verb. If you listen, Shemoa is a hard word to do it with. Nason titain, if you give by giving.
Mm-hmm.
If you give a givingness.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if you listen a listeningness, it doesn't, whatever. But it means, I mean, we our scroll would render it truly listen, surely listen. El mitzvos hai, to my mitzvos.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the first concept in volume Shemoa? Shemoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shema Yisrael.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? But now we're not talking about Hashem's unity, right? That Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, El mitzvos hai. Why? Because again, what's the second paragraph about? Accepting mitzvos.
Mm-hmm.
Not accepting Hashem as king. That we did already.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're taking that to the next step. Asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom, which I commend you today. What's the next word? La'ava.
Mm-hmm.
Paralleling. V'ahavta.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So again, a parallel. As Hashem alokechem u'avdo b'chol levavchem. Sorry, to love Hashem, your God. U'avdo,
mm-hmm.
and to serve Him. B'chol levavchem, with all of your heart, b'chol nafshechem. V'ahavta, we didn't have b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem, period. Right? First of all, we didn't have u'avdo, to serve Him. But now we're talking about mitzvot, so that works. Right? We're talking about serving Him. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. Where is the b'chol me'odecha? Why did it fall off? What does me'odecha mean? Do you remember from last week? Me'odecha means, as our scroll render it, all that you have, all your resources.
All your resources.
Right. Me'odecha is your property.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next pasuk? V'nasati metar hatzachem b'ito. I will give you the rain for your land, the rain of your land, mm-hmm. in its time. You'll wear the early rain to Malkosh and late rains.
Mm-hmm.
Rains. The texture of the rain is... The Israeli rainy season has two different kinds of rain, early rainy season and late rainy season, and they actually have two different words in Hebrew. You have safta d'gonecha, and you will gather your grain, v'siroshecha v'yitarecha. So what is Hashem promising here? If you keep the mitzvos, then I will give you me'odecha.
Mm-hmm.
This is me'odecha.
Yeah, this is,
but it's not... But notice a second change here. Right? The first change was just u'avdo, because now we're talking about Rahim Shema Tishmu. Right? If you listen, right, and you serve Him, then I will give you your me'odecha. Over there it was, you have resources, use them to serve Hashem. Now it's, and if you serve Hashem, Hashem will provide resources.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Another difference I want to point out. B'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. What does it say in V'ahavta? B'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. In V'ahavta, it's written in the singular.
Mm-hmm.
In Vayim Shmoa, it's written in the plural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Another difference. I'm going to collect the differences, and then in good rhetorical style, I'll try to give one answer. Now you get the flip side. Hishamu lechem. Watch for yourself. Pen yifta levavchem. Lest your heart be, what's the word when somebody is romanced? Lefateh is to... your heart will be convinced, but lefateh actually has like a romantic connotation. Mm-hmm. You'll be swept off your feet romantically, right? Lefateh is actually the term used, by the way, with respect to premarital relations.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the that kind of being swept away. Vesartem,
mm-hmm.
and you would turn away, right? Vavadtem Elohim Achirim, and you serve Elohim Achirim, and you serve other gods, Vishtach Vizim Lehem, and you bow to them. By the way, if you remember, 2 weeks ago we spoke about the beauty of singing Shema together to trup. So this is commonly done in Sephardi shuls, but this pasuk is done quietly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like the tochacha where the balkore goes down. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there is one version of the minhag where they say it like this: Hishamru lachem, guard for yourselves. Mumble, 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 mm-hmm. picking up with Ha'aretz Hatova, the good land which Hashem gave you. Kind of like saying, guard for yourselves the good land which Hashem gave you.
Yeah.
But in any case, these two pesukim are generally not read out loud. And in Sephardi shuls, the Talmidei HaGra, the students of the Gra, who also have a practice of reading the Shema to Trup, do say the whole thing out loud. V'chara af Hashem b'chem, and Hashem will be angry with you. The Atar is a Shemaim, and he will stop the sky. Lo Yishia Matar, and there won't be rain. For Adama, and the land, Lo Zitain, as you will love, will not give its produce. Vavaditem Mehera, and you will be quickly lost. Me'al Haaretz Hatova, from upon the good land, which somebody thought would be a nice title for a book about a totally different country. Asher Hashem No Sein Lachem, which Hashem gave you. I had to read The Good Land for high school. That's why it stuck in my pro book. But in any case, that's the origin of her title. But the notice that here we're dealing with reward and punishment. Why was there no reward and punishment in Vahavta, and there's reward and punishment here? Another distinction.
Yeah.
Okay. Right there, Modech was a given, and it's something you use. Again, look at the suffix. What's the suffix? Chem in the plural. In the first part of Shema. We didn't yet get up to the parallel. Ukshartem osam laosa yedchem, vayulit adafos bene nechem. Ukshartem laos al yodecha in the first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's al yedchem.
Mm-hmm.
Still staying in the plural. And why did this come before when mantisem osam es benechem ledaberbo? The order of these two mitzvahs got switched.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here we're putting on tefillin before we teach our kids.
Mm-hmm.
There we taught our kids first, exactly. And then we put on tefillin. B'shevetecha b'veisecha, right? So you teach your children to speak of them. B'shevetecha b'veisecha, when you sit near your house. U'lechtecha v'derecha, when you go on your way. B'shochtecha, when you lay down. U'kmecha, when you get up. U'chsavtem al mezuzos b'veisecha, and you write them on the doorframe of your house. U'visharecha on your gates. End of parallel. Right, and then we have the reward, which we already discussed. The man yibu yimechem, you know, why we already raised the question, what is the reward? The man yibu yimechem v'mevenechem. Right, so that you and your children will have many days. Al ha'adama asher nishva Hashem lavoseichem, that Hashem promised to your forefathers, lasei slahem, to give to them k'mei ha'shamayim al ha'aretz. like the days that the heaven will be on the earth. So why are they in a different order? Why is it in plural? Why is spring? The basic issue that I think it is when we discuss accepting Hashem as king, it's an internal declaration.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else really knows whether or not I accept Hashem as king. They only know whether or not I act like I accept Hashem as king. But acting as I accept Hashem as king is the second paragraph, accepting the mitzvahs that the king gave me. I therefore want to suggest that the reason why Valhafta is written in the singular is because Valhafta is written to the individual. Vahayim Shemoa is written to the community. So Vahafta is written in the singular because accepting king is something, is a private action. Accepting to do the mitzvot is measurable by others, and therefore becomes a communal, and I also wrote on a societal, cultural issue, because whether or not I keep mitzvot affects the atmosphere you live in.
Okay.
That's, to my mind, why it's written in the plural. Another way that you see this shift is, I asked why were the two sentences reversed? Why is Vishinantam Levanecha teaching your children ahead of Ukshartam Laos, ahead of putting on tefillin in Vayim Shmoa in the second column, in Vahavta in the second column of my chart, and then the other one we have Ukshartam Laos before Vilimad Timosam. If you notice, though, the reason for Vishinamta Levanecha is Vidibarta Ba. Hey, we discussed this before. Vishinamta Levanecha is a different commandment. It is so that I should be in the position of teaching, so that I am speaking of them. There, it's a communal activity. I'm passing it on to the next generation. It's Lidaber Ba.
Yes.
As a communal activity, it therefore is beyond my body. And therefore, in that radiating outward from my heart, my life, my belongings, it comes after Ukshartam Laos. So, what we have is a parallel of four steps that are iterated four times. That's the 4x4 grid. First, we have the idea of accepting Hashem as king. How do you accept Hashem as king? You love him. Loving him means that you acknowledge that everything he does is out of that unity between him and you, and therefore you're accepting that in the future you'll understand how, and humanity will understand how. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nashcha, b'chol modecha, three steps of getting that from being a truth to getting that to pervade everything you do, and we discuss the whole notion of Judaism as a way of expressing our love of God, even as we make shoes. Chanoch, making the shoes and unifying Hashem's name simultaneously. Then Moshe Rabbeinu gives us exact steps how to do this. What? You should put the words on your heart. Right? Teaching your children so that you're always talking about them. Step two, how do you make it pervade your whole life? Put on tefillin. How do you make it pervade all your belongings? Put it on your house so you remember that your house is not what's protecting you. Hashem is what's protecting you. Once you get to accepting Hashem as king, being the whole way you view the whole world, now you're ready to accept the mitzvos. So again, v'hayin shema tishmu, you better listen to the idea that v'ava is Hashem lokechem. What's the step? U'l'avda, went to serve him, because that would make him, that would be all mitzvos. B'chol Lavavchem is step two. B'chol Nashachem is step three. Now we get to Chol Ma'odecha, became this long reward and punishment. Why? There's a rule, Schar Mitzvos behind Amaleka. You know Aramaic, so you know what I just said, right? There's no reward, or there's insufficient reward in this world for mitzvos. Right? As far as anybody could tell, you don't really see righteous people having better lives than not righteous people. Right? it's kind of, the way I like to describe it is, it's kind of like the law of momentum. Right, there's a law in physics. I had to study physics because I'm an engineer. I was an engineering major once. There's a law in physics that objects that are in motion tend to stay in motion unless acted right. That's momentum. In practice, it never happens. They had to go out and send astronauts into space to actually test this. Because in the real world, there's gravity. There's friction. Right? There's friction with the ground. There's friction with air. Right?
There's always external force.
Right. So even though it is true that there is reward and punishment, in this world, there are so many other factors into what goes into your life that you really can't see reward and punishment in this world. Okay? And that's why I'm not keen on those who teach ideas like if you had enough bitachon, everything would work out well. No, bitachon should be that everything will work out well, whether or not it works out the way you want. Right? Everything worked out according to Hashem's plan, and therefore it is, you know, what is...
Sure.
As my father would say right before he punished me when I was a kid, I'm doing this for your own good. A lot of things that are for your own good are not really what you want. Right? That's the... That's his concept of in this world. However, on a national level, there is reward and punishment. We have Ayim Shmo, we have the two Tochachos that we mentioned a little before. The history of the Jewish people is part of Hashem's revelation to mankind. That's like the message of Ha'azinu, the song that Moshe, you know, concludes the Torah with, a poem, song, whatever it was. I don't know if it had a melody or not. But the, right, part of the revelation, one of the most astounding things of Jewish history is, well, first of all, even Toynbee was surprised by the fact that we're still here. It's just strange for somebody who had an empire once to build an empire a second time. Sorry, to have a country once, to build a country a second time, and then to survive two millennia without a country is unique. But more than that, you know, like the fact that bad things always happen on Tisha B'Av, right? Jewish history as a national entity is a revelatory process. So therefore, in V'ahavta, where we talk an individual's realization that everything will come clear someday, that Hashem is king and he's doing because out of love and therefore we love him and all that, we just discuss what we have we should use to serve him. When we talk in national terms, then we could talk about what we have is a consequence of whether or not we used it to serve him. That consequence statement we couldn't make in V'ahavta. Because in an individual's life, there's just too much else going on. And then we have the inculcation, you know, the actual performing of mitzvos, the santam is v'ra'ele, the intro, how, alavachem, on your heart, alnafshechem. And now, alnafshechem is the only thing we discuss. The practices are all in terms of society and the culture I set for the world around, for the rest of the Jewish world. So I talk about tefillin, I talk about teaching, I'm talking about external activities. And then finally, we again conclude with Uchsavtam al mezuzot pesecho uvisharecha. Now this theory works really nicely except for Uchsavtam al mezuzot pesecho uvisharecha. Why isn't it al mezuzot pesecho? Then we revert back to the singular. I don't know. I gotta leave it as open question. I don't know. Everything else works. Everything else in the paragraph is in plural. In fact, even without this theory, you have a basic question. The whole chapter of Ayin Shmo is in the plural. Why do we suddenly switch to the singular when it comes to your house? We don't switch to... You only have one house. We only put on... Right, so maybe that's it. Yeah, you put it on your home, because it's an individual's home. You only have one arm, though. More than that, both the home and the fill-in are what the briskers call a chovas gavra, obligation on the individual. corporate entity doesn't, shul doesn't have to put up a mezuzah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the singular, but community doesn't have to put on for an individual list. Mm-hmm. So I don't have an answer, but the question, I'm just shifting the terms of the question.
Mm-hmm.
The question is still, why in Vayim Shmoa do we switch from the plural language to the singular language? Okay. Now, after the parallel, which means after the top chart, so we've now gone through my structure of Shema charts, we have this idea of Lema'an. Yirbu Yimeichen V'Yimei V'Neichen. The famous story about it, there was a Tana named Elisha ben Avuya. Heard the story?
No.
Okay. Elisha ben Avuya was one of the Tanaim. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Meir was a student of both Elisha ben Avuya and Rabbi Akiva.
Hmm.
One day, Elisha ben Avuya saw a father send a son to get eggs. The son went to get the eggs. He climbed the tree, chased away the mother bird, and in chasing away the mother bird, fell out of the tree and died. Now, there are two mitzvos that Hashem promises will grant you a long life. One of them is honoring your parents, and the other one is chasing away the mother bird before you take the eggs. So, Elisha ben Avuya had a crisis of faith. Right? And he dumped it. And they started calling him Acher, meaning somebody else. I don't know who this guy is, but he's not the Elisha ben Avuya we all used to hang out with. And he left Yiddishkeit. He left at least, Orthodox Judaism. There were other things that also, this is part of a whole pattern. The day of his bris, his father noticed how the Rabbanim, who were invited to the bris, were all given lots of respect.
Mm-hmm.
See, he said, I wish someday my son could learn Torah and get all that respect. See, his whole education was skewed to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He was educated for honor. He wasn't educated because of his value in the Torah.
Uh-huh.
His father knew this was a way to get to honor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was an incident a little later in his life where they thought he was studying, and hidden in his book was a Greek philosophy book, and one time they caught him singing Greek ditties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy just had a pursuit of knowledge with no religious content. So I'm not taking the yeshivish approach that there's something wrong with the Greek knowledge. It would be very hard to do, because those very same Greek philosophers are argued, supported and debated among the Rishonim. Rav Sadia Gaon discusses Aristotle's position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? The Rambam and Aristotle goes all over the place. I mean, clearly, the Rishonim did not hold there was a problem. Mm-hmm. Right? So they didn't understand the story as being that the problem was that he studied philosophy. But still, it still shows this picture that he was not a religiously motivated fellow. Another story about him, just to continue drawing this picture, is that there were four people who went into the pardes, the orchard. There was a discussion of having some kind of mystic experience. So Rabbi Akiva went in and came out wiser. Okay? Another had come and got out and had lost his mind. One came in and never came out. He died. And the fourth one is our hero, Elisha ben Avuya, who, the way the Mishnah describes it is, he went to the pardes, he had this mystical experience, and he became a heretic. The picture I'm getting is, the guy never really believed.
Mm-hmm.
He studied a lot of Torah because there was honor in studying Torah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He went up, he did the mystic experience with Rabbi Akiva and the others. He didn't see anything.
Uh-huh.
Because he's not going to get a glimpse of heaven. He doesn't believe.
No.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the boy dies, he doesn't believe the boy has an afterlife to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So the boy lost everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's because he went, he tried to see heaven and failed,
mm-hmm.
that this became the straw that broke the camel's back, and he said, I'm not even going to try anymore, this mm-hmm. is pointless. What's weird about the end of the story, what's interesting about the end of the story is, Rav Yosef says, what does L'man Yerichun Yomecha Al Hadama, our Pasuk, what does it mean? It means the world to come. Because the world to come is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, no, if it's telling you long days without giving you an amount, you know, having a long life in this world is not long when God has an infinite life He could possibly give you. So therefore, Yerichun Yomecha is talking about, you know, reward in Gan Eden. You'll have an infinite amount of time in Gan Eden. You know, eventually. Hopefully not soon, but that's not what we're talking about. So that's the... Right, the idea of Raman Yerichun Yomecha that we talk about here, Al Hadama, is not that Hashem is promising that that will keep us on the land, but rather that Hashem is promising that that will get us a place in the world mm-hmm. to come.
Seven and go. You can do it.
So.
Think positively.
Yeah, I always
say.
Hey.
I like that.
Oh, sorry. Now, the... but the other... Right, the that's no, actually this is a good place to stop, so I'm not gonna try to find my train of thought.
Good.
Okay? And we'll conclude here.
Good.